Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God told me to tell you this.
That's paganism.
Do you really expect and anticipate that the divine voice of God can be heard by you?
That's horoscope reading.
Standing in the office of the prophet of God.
That's reading tea leaves.
You can't have a relationship to God if you can't hear God.
That is not biblical Christianity.
You want to hear God speak to you? Read your Bible. If you want to hear God speak to you audibly, read it out loud. I promise you, 100% guaranteed, you will hear Him speak.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel. It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh!
What are you drinking?
What? I'm sorry, what?
What are you drinking?
It's not milk! I'm not racist! Quit accusing me of being racist! I'm not drinking milk, I'm drinking tea, and it doesn't even have milk inside of it. This is Wretched Radio. Did you hear? Milk is racist. That's right, and taxpayers are paying to determine how it is that milk became so racist. Sent to idea@wretched.org, which is why you should send things to us, because I would have never found this article. Milk is racist is a part of a taxpayer-funded research project into connections between milk and colonialism. Academics in Oxford. Cool. Researching the political nature of milk and its colonial legacies. Apparently, a bunch of white male farmers got together and said, how do we impose milk drinking on everybody to colonize the country and keep people oppressed? Apparently, one of the experts has argued that milk is a Northern European obsession that has been imposed on other parts of the world. This is so documented. All of the covert meetings, while the documents have been brought into the light, countless meetings, the big milk players, the bovine association, the utterly nutritious association. See what I did there? Utterly nutritious association. They got together to say, how do we export milk to other countries so that we can make money and oppress them? Dr. Joanna something hyphen said the assumption that milk was a key part of the human diet may be understood as a white supremacist one. Well, isn't everything? The new project, Milking It, Colonialism, Heritage, and Everyday Engagement with Dairy, has won funding from the Arts and Humanities Research Council. That would be taxpayer-funded research. The History of Science Museum in Oxford said, by focusing on communities, I'm stripping of this, of the British accent, by focusing on communities, intersecting industry, aid in government regulation, this is that academic speak, this vocabulary vomiting that is supposed to overwhelm you with the sense, we're really smart and you're dumb because you are being critical of milk colonialization. The project, according to the museum, aims to center on heritage as a vital framework for understanding how colonial legacies influence contemporary issues and affect people's lives. Total word salad. The project will question both the imagined and real aspects of milk. How do you measure imagination? I don't know. Revealing the intimate and political nature of this everyday substance. So please note, I'm not racist. I'm drinking tea.
So I wonder if it's 2% or almond milk that is more prejudiced.
Well, now that's a different study.
Oh.
See, almond milk has its own racial issues because almonds, I'm getting there. Okay. Almonds, it has the word, as the letter S in it,
uh-huh,
in its plural form, and so does the word whites. There you have it. Please send stuff so we can all be agitated. Idea at wretched.org. And if you've got questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, please text away to 877-282-2337.
Whole new meaning to the word or term lactose intolerance.
That is exactly... Jimmy. Jimmy. Boom.
I solved the problem.
I didn't know that's what... I thought milk just makes some people's tummy upset. But no... Actually, have we ever talked about sourdough bread here? I'm not prescribing anything, but I've talked to enough people about this because I found it so fascinating that sourdough bread apparently is easier on the tummy for people who have gluten issues.
Huh.
And I think we mentioned before that in Italy, they don't use the gluten when they make the bread. So when people from America take a trip to Italy and they eat the bread, they're like, hey, this ain't bugging me at all. Well, there's a reason for it, but if you can't find Italian-made bread, get yourself some sourdough bread. And I'll be honest with you, I'm being rather selfish in bringing up sourdough bread. I mentioned it to Al. A lot of you know Al, Ambassador Al, here at the ministry. I was mentioning about sourdough bread not causing gut issues, and he said his wife makes sourdough bread. And I went, well, that sounds lovely. Yep, it was fully baked with a desire. It was totally coveting some sourdough bread.
He brought you some?
Oh, man. It was still warm when it got here.
I like sourdough bread.
Honest, I do not wish this to be blasphemous at all, but if Jesus didn't say that man cannot live by bread alone, I would try.
My wife would,
I
too.
I love bread. Rah! Do you do that? There's some like carbohydrates even on your plate. You get served a plate of food, and what do you go for? The potatoes, protein. Give me them carbs, man. And that sourdough bread, I'm just telling you. 877-282-2337. So if you're listening, Veronica, I'm just saying it was really, 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 really good sourdough bread.
I thought we were friends, Veronica. All right, this
you
is
you didn't get any.
I did not.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, you're smugging.
If I had known, I would have shared some of mine.
This is
with Kerry Irish butter.
Now you're just gloating.
A little.
This is from Sam. Todd, how can I find contentment when I'm a mid-20s single man while seeing person after person getting paired off?
Yeah.
It discourages me more than anything else in my life.
Yeah, I'm sorry you're in that season, and I'm sorry it is kind of it can be discouraging because it's hard to find a godly spouse these days. What the gender breakdown is, I don't know anymore, but for both men and women, it's just harder to find a spouse. And you see somebody getting married, or you go to the Facebook zone and you find somebody from high school, and it's like, oh, they were a dork, man, and they're getting married. Here, what's the matter with me? I would suggest there's some options for you. And one is, it is okay to recognize that your culture is making it challenging. But I don't think that should be a total excuse for it. There's something else that you can be doing in the meantime. You can grow in being a better spouse. You say, but I'm not married. That's exactly the problem. I want to be a spouse. No, be a spouse now. Develop those attributes of living with another carbon 14 unit. And you will grow in godliness in preparation for marriage. Third, don't give up. I will shout out, now, I don't know if there's like an anti-online dating Christian organization, but I think there's some rotten ones, but I do think there are some good ones. Utilize them. And make sure you put religion exactly where it needs to be on the list of priorities that you have. Don't couch it. Don't hide it. Don't think, oh, if I let people know I'm too Christian, well, then they might not. Well, you don't want those people anyway. So make sure you use a system that has the opportunity to put down your priorities with Jesus being at the very top and utilize those means. And in the meantime, finally, I would say, grow in your contentment in the Lord. I know that's difficult because there's a sexual expression of marriage that doesn't exist in our relationship with our Savior, but your heart can be satisfied. So see this as an opportunity for you to grow because you're single because God wants you to be single. If God did not want you to be single, you would be married. Now, that doesn't mean that he's happy that you maybe aren't thrilled with not being married. But it means that your God who cares for you knows that this is best for you at this time. Jimmy, you got anything else for the young people who are just going bonkers? No, and I get it.
And I do get it, too. And I don't want this to sound mystical or anything else, but there is some truth to this old saying is, you know, when you're not looking for it, it happens. You know what I'm saying?
You're really going to try to sell this?
Well, but what I'm saying is it's kind of piggybacking off of what you're saying is be content with the Lord and be content and grow in who you are. And when you're not looking for a relationship, you're not going to be depressed and upset that it's not coming. And likely that's what's going to slap you upside the head.
And get involved in your local church. That's what the gift of, in my opinion, the gift of singleness, I don't know that it has anything to do with sexual desire as much as the gift of the Lord hasn't provided a spouse, and that means you've got all this free time. What are you going to do with it? You've got options. Video games shouldn't be one of them. You could play more sports. You can watch tons of Netflix, none of which will grow you. Furthermore, none of it will serve fellow members of the kingdom. So if you are in a season of singleness, please know, we all get it. We understand. It ain't easy. We get that. But get involved in your local church. And when you are busying yourself with ministry, you'll probably be less distracted and bummed out that you don't yet have a spouse. This is Wretched Radio. You're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry. Oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa. Poor, poor, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in. They assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years, and it's growing like a nobody's business, and it is a testimony to their faithfulness that over 50% of the Tomorrow Club volunteer leaders were Tomorrow Club kid attendees. Now, they, in their villages, are teaching the kids the gospel as volunteers for the Tomorrow Clubs. I got to tell you, that is a testimony. If you love supporting evangelistic ministries that are faithful, that actually preach repentance and faith, it's an outstanding ministry. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Attention all Christians who refuse to be silenced. Are you tired of seeing culture crumble before your eyes? Picture this. Later this year, 8 brilliant minds, each a powerhouse in their field, will be coming on board and joining forces with us here at Gospel Partners Media, and we're creating a Christian version of the Daily Wire. We'll be tackling tough topics by writing articles, creating resources in homeschool curriculums, video resources, podcasts, and a lot more. These gentlemen will be your guides in navigating this upside down brave new world we're living in. But we need your help to make this vision a reality. If you'll join our $250,000 match campaign right now, you can be part of this exciting new chapter. Every dollar you give will be matched up to $250,000. Just visit wretched.org/fellows right now to learn more about the initiative and each of the 8 brilliant minds that will be joining us. That's wretched.org/fellows.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family, and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. Exodus is a story of God saving his people from oppression and giving them an identity and an inheritance. God gives Moses the Ten Commandments, which begin with the statement, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt." Good deeds have always been a response to God's saving work, not a means of earning salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What are you opening?
A fortune cookie.
Oh.
I just happen to have a fortune cookie here, so I'm just opening it up. Let's see what that says. This is Wretched Radio. Here's my fortune cookie right here. Ooh. When you ain't looking for what you desire, your desire will find you. Well, those fortune cookies, how dopey are those?
Hey, you know the guy that invented those?
The fortune cookie?
Yeah, he made a fortune.
Why do I feel like I just got hit by a truck?
You started it.
Like you threw me into the middle of 85 in Atlanta, and I just got run over. Idea at wretched.org, 877-282-2337.
This is from Gordon. Todd, at what point can the biblical Christian view of self-preservation and general living be unbiblical? Are we called to be educated, affluent Christians who live relatively comfortable lives while serving through our local churches?
It's individual choices. We're not supposed to live like monastics. That's not what we're called to. It is okay to own a home. It is okay to have a bank account. It is okay to have a 401k. It is okay to leave an inheritance to your children. Just don't live for those things. That's all. Use those things as a part of life and of enjoying God's good gifts. Just don't desire them as the preeminent goal of life. And each Christian needs to make those decisions for him or herself, which is why we need to be super slow when we go about the business of judging somebody for their lifestyle expression. Unless we know all of the details that are going into it, if I see somebody who I think is living an exorbitant lifestyle, I'm going to zip it because I don't know everything. And I'm going to leave it between that person and their Lord. Now, might I ever, if I get to know the person, spend time asking them questions about the desires of their heart? Sure, out of Christian love. But I could well hear an explanation that I didn't know about. And that makes sense. I always think about fancy cars and Christians who drive a car that I myself wouldn't purchase. I think my car is celebrating its 12th birthday right now. Okay. So that's my preference because of the economics of it and resale value and all that jazz. But let's just say a Christian, they've got themselves a spanky new fill in the blank with whatever you think is a groovy car. And what if they have that car because they need it to bring their clients around to sell high-priced real estate and make a living with which they not only support their family, not only put money into an investment account for the sake of their children and grandchildren, but also fund Christian ministries starting with their local church? Oh, so that's what drove that decision. See what I did right there, Jimmy? That was kind of a dad pun right there. I don't know. Maybe they need that car for business. I don't know. So I'm going to overlook. I'm not going to jump in and have a courtroom in my own brain rendering people verdict because they don't make purchasing decisions. I do. This is not to suggest that Christians don't make sinful decisions. We do. And we can help one another with that. But we need to be careful that we don't make our lifestyle the standard by which everybody else must live. I think that would be getting close to the James admonition of probably getting critical of rich people or people in power. Not many. God does not choose many who are like that. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2. Not many, maybe it's one, are wise. Yeah, like 120, something like that. 23. Jimmy, let's see how I just did there. 1 Corinthians 1:23, if you'd be so kind. There aren't a lot of people who are in power and who come with a huge academic background. Why? Because it pleases God, said Jesus, to bring good news to people who are childlike. Even the uneducated is kind of what the Greek is indicating. because it confounds the wisdom of the world. There are saved people who live in the upper echelons of society, and we can't be jealous of those people. Yeah, they've got a huge responsibility before God, but not before me. What's 1 Corinthians 1:23?
But we preach Christ crucified.
That's what I... Bingo! Nailed it again! 877-282-2337.
Hey, what do you call a rich person that drives a Tesla? Come on, think about it.
I'm trying. Elon Musk. Yeah. I don't know.
An egomaniac. Because it's an electric car, an egomaniac. You want to laugh so bad.
No. No.
You just feel sorry for me.
A little bit. Yeah. You know what? If we weren't in separate rooms, I would lay hands on you right now.
And
I don't mean in the biblical way. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is from Jess. Todd, is it sin for a woman to be a professor in a Christian university and teach something like apologetics?
No, because of the setting. It's a setting. It's the church setting. It's the office that is of concern. It's not that women can't teach men. You can, ladies. You should, ladies. And there are appropriate places for that, and there are inappropriate places. So this is not to suggest that a woman couldn't be usurping authority in a classroom setting. Could, but if we're just talking about it's a class on apologetics, the woman is a professor, she's really good at it. I think as a male, you can take that class and profit from her knowledge. And I don't see that as a violation of 1 Timothy 2:12. I don't see that as any sort of violation of any sort of spiritual authority. So your conscience might keep you from doing it. We never want to override that, but I don't think it would have to. I don't think that would be a sin at all. Do you agree, Jimmy?
Completely agree.
All right. So here's another one that's being bandied about.
Okay.
What about women politicians? What do we say about that? That men are submitting to those who are in authority and they're female? And I personally, this is how I sort it, because this is, first of all, we're not Israel, but nevertheless, we can learn principles from Israel. And what we see is the rule was male leadership. Were there ever female judges? Yes, but that was because of the abandonment of men from their assigned roles. So that's not really a hearty endorsement of a female judge or leader in Israel in the Old Testament. So that's what we see as a pattern. And we say, okay, that's instructive, but nevertheless, we're not Israel. We're in America. Could we also talk about how the Bible is honest? I was just reading some article. It's just amazing. The effort to blur genders. There aren't like female expressions of emotions, as if to say that we all do share the same emotions, so we're all exactly the same. Well, here's the reality. We do share all of the same emotions, but men and women are different in how they express those emotions. Nevertheless, the Bible recognizes that, and it indicates that men typically are the provider, the protector, the leaders of the home. In Jewish society, the leaders of the village, they were the ones who sat at the city gate. They were the ones who were put in positions of authority. So what do I do with putting all of this together? I say it is not a sin for a woman to be in politics. Having said that, do I think that is the ideal? Based on the way the Bible points us, I would say it probably is not the ideal, but I could never make a law where there is no law. So if I go to church with a woman who is in politics, I got to tell you, she wouldn't be going under church discipline. Disagree? Idea at wretched.org or 877-282-2337. What's your take on my thinking about women?
No, I completely agree. That's what I was going to say, was that I think it's permissible. Absolutely. I don't think it's probably ideal.
Because we're just suited for different things.
Right.
Nope, not every man is. And nope, not every woman isn't. I get that. But we can take what we see in the Bible. Always have to be careful, of course, the difference between prescriptive and descriptive. just because it's revealed doesn't mean that it's the rule. We got to be careful of that. But if we're going to use the Bible to inform us, I think it would point us in that direction. 877-282-2337.
So this is from...
Don't got a dad joke for me?
No.
See, that's what you should do. When you get all angsty with me for saying, let's take a look at another something when there's, well, now 50 seconds left.
Just fill it with a dad joke.
Just give me a dad joke. Jimmy, I think this was another expression that says, I'm here for you. I'm trying to help you. I know you love the dad jokes.
I do.
This would be your chance. 877-282-2337.
So now you really want
go!
Me
to... Go! Make something up!
I don't have one. You can't force brilliance, Todd, and that's what all my dad jokes
what
are.
What did Adam and Eve do when Cain killed Abel?
What did they do? I don't know.
They raised Cain. Do I have to do everything around here? This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News Break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. It can only be described as a sign of the times in our current Biden economy. Walgreens has announced plans to shut a, quote, meaningful percent of their 8,600 stores across the nation. CEO Tim Wentworth has decided that not all locations spark joy, or profits for that matter, and of course, in business, that's the name of the game. The 123-year-old pharmacy chain is examining roughly one quarter of its stores, likely pondering which locations to keep and which ones to send to the trash heap. Wentworth said retail pharmacy is central to our future and to our overall customer and patient experience because it enables many other things, but it has to change. One can only assume that by change, he means close. The news comes as part of a larger trend in retail closures, with chains announcing the closure of almost 3,200 brick-and-mortar stores so far in 2024. It appears like the only thing inflating faster than prices is the number of for lease signs in storefront windows. In other news, Miss Maryland USA has crowned a new winner, and some contestants feel less than charitable about the results. Several women who competed in the recent contest expressed shock upon discovering they had been changing and using restrooms in the same space as a biological man. One of the contestants told the Daily Signal, quote, I first realized I competed with a biological man a few days after the competition. I saw it on the Miss Maryland USA Instagram post. At first, I was shocked. I felt sick to my stomach and was so upset for the other women in the top five. Another contestant who wished to remain anonymous said, quote, I felt lied to. I would have liked to have known ahead of time as I was subject to change, utilize the bathroom, and be in the same space as a biological man. Yeah, and the pageant, which promises a fair environment in which young women have the opportunity to develop skills that will help them win in life by being their personal best in everything they do, well, they seem to have a rather fluid definition of the word woman. The newly crowned Miss Maryland USA will now compete for the title of Miss USA in Los Angeles. And in a final bit of news from the Great White North, Canada is addressing its healthcare worker shortage in a uniquely Canadian way by importing foreign workers while maintaining vaccine mandates for unvaccinated staff. According to information obtained by CBC News, the Canadian government has allowed 4,336 temporary healthcare workers to enter the country since 2023. That's a significant increase from the 447 workers allowed just back in 2018. Meanwhile, many provinces still refuse to allow unvaccinated staff to return to work. Seems the Canadian government has found a creative solution to its healthcare worker shortage. They're opting for a more diverse approach. Literally. And that's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Son of Man. Daniel chapter 7 describes the Son of Man who came from heaven, received worship from all nations, and rules a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Jesus uses this title to affirm that he is fully human and fully divine.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Just like the Pointer Sisters, I'm so excited. This is Wretched Radio. I've been working on a book. Friel, you've been working on that for forever. I agree. And you know what has tripped it up time and time again? The title of the book. I don't know if you've ever been involved in the naming of anything besides your children. Well, no, that's even to my point. Was it a piece of cake for you and your spouse to pick your kids' names and assign them a name? How dare you assign your child a name? There was all kinds of back and forth. What do you think about that? What do you think about that? The same thing is true with a business, automobiles, medicine. Wow, are they getting ridiculous? Have you seen the pronunciations of the medicines that they're advertising on TV these days? And what about the naming of a book? You take a beating. It is one of the most hotly contested portions of the editing process in book writing, naming the book. And I'm so excited because the title I had, well, apparently some people thought it was a stinker. I was working with Hardwired Faith that Christianity is not an app. It's an operating system. And James, who's going to be doing the editing, came up with a title that is so killer. Lord Over All. Oh, it has been so good. So I've been able to take that and it's just making the, now I'm in the editing process and it's just zing. It's all just coming together so well. And I'm so excited because I think so many of us would benefit from recognizing there isn't a molecule that does not have the Lord's fingerprints on it. Not a molecule, kind of a plagiarism from Abraham Kuyper, that God is in control. Everything is here for his purpose, for his design, for his reason. Colossians, 1 Corinthians 1:23. No, Colossians 1:2. It's in Colossians chapter 2:16, maybe, that Jesus Christ, he's preeminent over all things, that all things were made by him, for him, through him, to him. This all exists with intentionality. And that is where I think there has been a disconnect for too many of us. We have to figure out how to bring our Christian faith into every area of life. And my premise is that's backwards. Every area of life is Christ. We just need to recognize it and walk in light of it. Look forward to sharing the results of Lord Overall with you in about 18 months. In the meantime, why don't you write us, idea@wretched.org. Did I have the verse even close to it?
It was Colossians 1:15-16.
I knew there was a 16 in there someplace.
It's so close to Colossians.
Right, read the verse because it's a beauty.
He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him.
So look around. It says one word, Christ. Government, Christ. You're going bonkers over the debate, which we'll discuss next week. Christ. Now you hate electronic cars. Christ. He's in control of all of this. I'm not saying that he's wanting us to manufacture those cars. What I'm saying is everything we see, created by him, owned by him, ruled by him, because he's Lord over all. Can't wait to share it. Sorry, I know that maybe you're going, what are you so excited about, dude? I'm just burning through the edits now, and that makes me very excited, like a Pointer Sister, only completely different. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Emily. Todd, my husband and I have a son who is 2 years old. I'm almost 35, and we're feeling unsure about having any more children, partially due to my age, but also because of simply not wanting any more. Mm. We also feel conflicted about not giving our son a sibling.
Sure.
I know it may be a silly question, but do you believe there are biblical reasons to try and have more than one child?
Like, do you have to have more than one child?
Right.
I do not believe that there is a mandate on a quota for having children. What we see is that the Bible endorses children, that having a full quiver, please note, in the context of the psalm, it happens to be about one gender only, boys. Nevertheless, our principle is that having children is a blessing.
We see having grandchildren is even a greater blessing, not because they're more precious than your kids, but because look at what the Lord has done generationally. So the psalmist expresses the best a man can ultimately arrive at is sitting at a table, having a meal, and looking out and seeing, my wife is content, and there's my children and grandchildren, and look in the background, it's Jerusalem. Ah. So we see the kids are a blessing. And you can decide how many of those blessings that you want to have. And I don't believe that there is a quota that you need to reach in order to not be sinning. Having said that, you could be sinning in your decisions. There could be sinful motives. I can't judge those. You need to do that work. You can also engage other Christians to help you see what's going on in your heart. You can weigh all these things, and then you should consider your scenario, your situation, and make a decision. And you can live with that decision then if you have done it faithfully. This brings so much peace to the believer. The word faithfulness, do things faithfully unto the Lord. So faithfully make a decision and say, Lord, we are doing our absolute best to honor you in this decision. We ask you to bless it. Now, we want your mind. We want your wisdom. We've done our best to read the Bible, receive godly counsel, consider our preferences, study the issues around circumstances. We've done our best. So Lord, here's what we've concluded. May you be pleased. And let's just say 5 years go by, you can no longer give birth to children, and suddenly your heart aches for one. We blew it. No, you didn't. And you might come to that conclusion if your decision was selfish and sinful. But if you're being faithful in your decision-making, you can rest in that. And now, 5 years later, you aren't going to have kids because the Lord has ordained no more children for you. And you can rest in that because you were faithful and he is sovereign and good. And that combination, you put that together in every realm of life, it will do you much good. I'll even offer this up as a tip. If you've got children who are still in the house, especially if you've got younger ones, get into the practice of this. You're going to do things and you're going to make decisions, and there are going to be some things that you do that you will look back on someday and go, oh, why did I do? Oh, I was so terrible. I wish that I had spent more. Whatever you will have a truckload of regrets in raising your children. Now you're going to take that truck, no matter how full the dumpster is, and you're going to take it into retirement when you're going to have a lot of time to think about those things, and you're going to look back and you will have so much regret if you don't remember faithfulness, sovereignty, and the goodness of God. That is why as you go through the day, Lord, I want to make this decision for you. Lord, I want to interact with my child the way that you would interact with my child. Lord, I want to be your representative. I want to do this faithfully. And as you do that, as you are striving, not just using it as some sort of fortune cookie formula, but you're actually doing that and you're growing in godliness and you're seeking godly wisdom, are you going to sin along the way? Yep, but you can toss those in the deep end of the ocean because they're forgiven. And when you become gray-haired and perhaps filled with all kinds of thoughts about I would have, could have, should have, you can stop and say, nope, I was faithful. I was faithful. Was it as good as it could have been? Of course not. But I was faithful, Lord. I offered it up to you. And anything that I did that was sinful, I repent again or I repent for the first time. But you don't have to pistol whip yourself. Faithfulness, and let that drive your day, whether it's parenting, whether it's with your spouse, your relations in the neighborhood, mowing the lawn, whatever you do, Lord, I am doing this for you. That's why we do well to not just have a prayer time in the morning and then we're done. Check. That's good that you do that. But throughout the day, Lord, I'm here. I'm your servant. Help me to do my best. I'm going to mow the lawn for your glory because you would do it excellently. And I want to do it excellently too. And even though your lines might be crooked, when you're done mowing, you can look over and go, okay, there were some crooked lines, but Lord, I was faithful to you. Please accept it as it is. You can rest in that. That's another key word, by the way. Rest. Rest. Just trust that he's got it, that his yoke is easy and his burden is light, and that he doesn't want to pile guilt and shame on you. He died to remove that from you. And you can rest in that. It doesn't give you license to sin or to be lazy, but it'll keep you from having coals on your head and miserable. So be faithful, Christian. Be faithful. That's all you're asked to do. Just be faithful, which is going to keep you from being sinful. But be faithful. And even when you sin, then repent of those things. Know that there is a no fishing sign over those sins and rest. And when you arrive at the time, when you look back, you can say, Lord, my whole life was offered up to you as an act of worship. Hope you were pleased with it. This is Wretched Radio.
All right, folks, get ready. Grab yourself a comfortable chair, a box of tissues, and get ready to go on a bit of a roller coaster ride, because that's what's going to happen if you pick up Safely Home by Randy Alcorn, a book that's been making even the toughest men cry like babies who drop their ice cream. Safely Home will challenge your faith, it will question your comfort, and it will make you reconsider how you view the lost. It is a straight-up sucker punch with hard-hitting questions like, are you ready to suffer for your faith? Are you ready to die for it? Yeah, it's that intense. And don't take my word for it. You can actually read a sample right now in the Wretched store at wretched.org. And remember, when you purchase the book, tissues are not included, but they are heavily recommended. Seriously, stock up. Grab your copy right now of Safely Home by Randy Alcorn at wretched.org, and get ready to have your faith strengthened like never before. Just don't say we didn't warn you. Hey, thank you so much for listening to Wretched Radio today. Let me tell you just how this ministry is going to be changing lives later this year. With your help, meet Dr. John Krotz, one of the new powerful voices who will soon be joining this ministry later in the year. Dr. Krotz is a pastor at Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia. He holds a doctorate of ministry from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, and Dr. Krotz has also authored several books, including Graciousness, Tempering Truth with Love, and of course, Loving the Church. His work focuses on theology and pastoral care, helping believers grow in their faith and their love for the church, and your support can help bring more voices like Dr. Krotz to the forefront. Just join our $250,000 match campaign, which is happening right now. You can visit wretched.org/fellows to see how you can partner with us, and together we can transform lives with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Gotta tell you, very excited. We have got a new outreach that we are working on with the good folks at the Masters Academy International, talking about getting John MacArthur study Bibles in Spanish to South American countries, some of which we maybe can't mention, if you know what I'm saying. It was such a delightful time, and so many people participated in our Bible distribution to the Philippines. That was such a gas. But as long as I brought up the Masters Academy International, it is a great ministry. It's a privilege to be working with these people. They're very thoughtful. They're very methodical. Teaching men how to preach the Word of God rightly. Then they send them back to their churches where they open up the Bible, perhaps for the first time, at least to that depth. Because of the training of the Masters Academy International, if you want to support a ministry that strengthens the local church, hey, you'd be hard-pressed to do better than TMAI. You can learn more about that, if and you want to, at wretched.org/pastor.
Attributes of God. God is a person. He is not a detached, impersonal force. He is a conscious, self-aware being with a mind and a will. He has made himself known through Scripture, and most of all, he wants you to know him personally. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Case in point, Freddy, the best miniature schnauzer ever. This is Wretched Radio. My first dog, Freddy. Man, he was a great pooch. We were thick. And he was so obedient. And he just, he was one of those dogs, I know, looking at me, nevertheless. So maybe he wasn't very bright, but he would look at me like, what do you want me to do, Dad? Are you happy with me, Dad? Where are we going now, Dad? I'm going with you, right? That was my first dog. And so when Freddie, I think at about the age of 11, the vet said he has diabetes. Oh boy. Okay. So then we did the shots and the injections. And back then it was so hard to know how he was doing. And then his health started to devolve. And then he had that cyst. And so, you know, we were dealing with the end of life decision with your dog that is like miserable. And in the moment and going through the process of making the decision, at what point do we say it's time for our last drive to the vet before getting in the car with my beloved dog? I could say to the Lord, Lord, I'm trying to do this right. I'm trying to be faithful. I'm trying to be wise with my kids that are going to witness this. I'm going to try to be wise with the money that you allow us to steward, whether we should keep pursuing this or not. I'm trying to be wise about the role confusion that can often take place between human and animal. I love my dog, but it's a dog. And I want to keep this dog around, but I also think the dog is kind of miserable. And now we got the issue with bladder control. Lord, this is the decision that I've made. Please be pleased with it. And I remembered that. I marked that in my mind. And we took Freddie to the vet, and it was horrible. I don't even like to rewind that tape in my brain. I hated it. Because that dog looked at me, man. Whew. And that'll haunt you. And that'll torture you. But it won't if you were faithful. You can rest in it. Even when you biff it, you can rest in it. Even when it fell short, you can rest in it. Strive for faithfulness. That's the best you can do. Offer things up to the Lord. Consult with Him, His Word, and His people. Make your best decision. Do the activity the best way that you can. And even if it turns out to be a stinkeroo or a bad decision or an even awful experience, you can remember, Lord, at that moment, I was doing my best for you. And I'm telling you, it'll keep you from having regrets, even though I still miss my best pooch friend ever, Freddie the dog. Please send stuff to idea@wretched.org, 877-282-2337.
So I feel like you just answered the question that I was going to ask, but I'm going to ask it anyway. This is from Tatum. Todd, I've been struggling with intense burnout at work. I dread going in every day. What's the biblical way of dealing with something like this? I know I shouldn't grumble, and I know God has placed me at this job, but the struggle is real.
Yeah, it is. Look, in those situations, we love sovereignty. Well, that's where you are. That's where God has you, so be ye content. Well, that's all true, but we need to understand still there's a human struggle involved. It isn't fun to be doing something you don't find very fulfilling. So you need to strive. You need to work out your salvation. You need to be reminded as you go about your daily tasks, Lord, you have me here. I'm going to do this unto you. But that isn't the end of the advice that any Christian should offer another. What's the desire of your heart? You know, God is pleased to fulfill that desire. So you can stay at your job, do it unto the Lord, going home at night saying, Lord, that was an act of worship unto you. I hope that you were pleased with it. And then go about the business of finding another job where you feel more fulfilled. And if you get one, you praise the Lord. And if you don't get one, you praise the Lord. Because He's orchestrating the details of your life. And He's got you there for a reason. There could be more, but one of the reasons you could be stuck in a job that you find unfulfilling is because He wants you specifically to find your fulfillment in Him. That's one reason. Maybe it's because you're not ready to handle that next job, maybe whatever the pay increase might be, that would not be good for you. There's 1,000 reasons that God does what He does. And you need to know that He's not just sovereign, He's also good. And He's got you there because He wants you there. That is your ministry. Where you are planted, Christian, that is your ministry. This might be helpful for you, especially because I do believe that Gen Zers have been bombarded by a message that says, If you're in a job that isn't fulfilling, just quit, or a quiet quit. No, that's not how a Christian works. You work unto the Lord. Your business card should not say biostatistician, Christian. That's what I am. Oh, and I work in a, well, wherever biostatisticians work. In a lab with a calculator, whatever it is that you're statisticking in biology, do it unto the Lord. That's who you are. And rest in that. You can rest in that. And you could also pour out your heart to the Lord. Lord, you know, it's hard for me, Lord. Please give me the strength. Please teach me what it is that you want me to learn. Help me to get it and help me to grasp it. Help me to have a good attitude. And Lord, would you help me to find a new gig? There's nothing wrong with those simultaneous emotions. Idea at wretched.org, 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text that came in from David.
Did I lose you?
Yeah, you did. I thought I turned my mic on, but I turned it off. So I already had it on.
So earlier this week, you missed your post.
Oh, man. You know, that still bothers me. I listened back to that.
Oh, no.
I listened back to that like three times.
And you, how come you didn't catch? Because you've been out of the business for a bit.
But usually I can listen.
I know. And hear you got better at it in time. At hitting the post, and right, you were not as good at the beginning as you were at the end.
But when you're doing it every single day,
you get really good at it.
For sure, yeah.
So don't feel bad, Jimmy.
Thank you, Todd.
877-282-2337.
All right, so this is from David. He texted in from earlier this week, a show that he was wondering, was that really Phyllis Diller or was it AI?
No, that was Phyllis Diller. Yeah, that was... I'm pretty certain I've shared this before. I was working with Phyllis Diller. This was a bit ago. And I asked her, I was starting to do radio. I think it was secular radio at the time. And I asked her to record some liners, and she did. And then we went out to dinner, and she had like 7 martinis. It was like, wow, lady, could she put them back? And then here's what sticks in my brain. And I suspect if I've shared this story before, you're going to go, yeah, I remember. While she's knocking back her 7th martini, she's regaling me with stories of what a horrific drunk Frank Sinatra was. Whoa.
Q93.5, that was Bonnie Raitt. It was something to talk about. And Rock said on before that with The Look. Hey, what's going on, West Tennessee? Yeah. Handsome Jimmy back along with you. And I'm back to wrap up this 9 o'clock hour, as well as my day today. Hey, we've had a great time, and we've heard a lot of great music. I hope you'll join me again next Sunday morning, straight up 7 o'clock.
You know what when I hear that, you know what I think?
What's that?
Thank you, Lord, for all that experience you gave Jimmy. Because you are vital here.
That's, well,
I'm not kidding.
That guy right there couldn't hit a post. That was the first time.
So you've regressed in some regards. But nevertheless, we're grateful for what you bring to the party here.
All right. This is from Anonymous. Todd, I am trying to work hard at school for the glory of the Lord, but I keep failing to reach the best grades. Mm. What should I do as a young Christian?
I'm just thinking. I'm doing a little shuffling through the Bible to remember the verse that talks about the grade point average that God demands from his children in order to be pleasing to him. Wait a second. Can't find it. You're supposed to do your best. If that's a 2.0, praise God. That's your best. You offer it. Look, we got a theme going on here. You offer it up to him. And now, if you could get a 4.0, but you're being lazy, then you shouldn't rest in a 2 or 3.0. You should put your skills to work and labor unto the Lord. Apply yourself, gaining even more knowledge, because God is knowledge itself, and you do it unto the Lord. It's about faithfulness. It's about doing things for him. And by the way, I got to tell you something. You could have a 4.1. I think some people get that. They like get all the extra credit and all that jazz. You are summa cum laude. That doesn't impress the Lord. He's not like, whoa, that dude is an amazing student. I guess I'm going to let my benevolent smile shine upon him because, whoa, it's a 4.1. Now, would he be pleased with a 4.1? Yes. And you say, you just contradicted yourself. No, I didn't. You do your 4.1 unto yourself. He's not knocked out. You do a 4.1 unto him. He's well pleased with that.
you're capable of getting a 2.0 and you got a 2.1 because you were doing it unto him. He's not impressed that it's a 2.1. He's pleased. Now, he's fully pleased because you're in Christ, but he's pleased because of your faithfulness. Let that drive you. Just, you do your best unto the Lord and you rest in that. And so when you're given your diploma and it says satis, S-A-T-I-S, like some of ours did, which is Latin for satisfactory, if you've done it unto the Lord, you can rest in being satisfactory. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.